We're in the middle of Torah Yud in Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, we're on page 28, the left-hand column, all the way towards the bottom of the page, the bottom paragraph on the page. Rabbeinu Zal started off this Torah saying that when there's din against Bnei Yisrael, the solution to it is dancing and clapping. And that's how we sweeten the din. That was Rabbeinu Zal's opening paragraph. And then he leaves that subject completely and goes into a whole series of other things. At the end, he's going to tie all of those items into singing, into this dancing and clapping, to show how that's the tikkun for din. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to show how the Iker Gedul of Hashem is when the nations of the world, the outside nations of the world, acknowledge Hashem's Malchus. And Rabbeinu Zal said the only way that they could do that is through the Bechina of Yaakov Avinu. As the Pasuk says, Beis Yaakov l'chuv v'neilcho b'er Hashem. That through the Madrega of Yaakov, there is this concept of l'chuv v'neilcho b'er Hashem. We can go in the light of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to show how each one of the Avos HaKadoshim, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, each one of them brought the light of Hashem closer in a certain sense. Avram Avinu brought Hashem to the mountain, Yitzchak Avinu brought the light of Hashem to the soda, to the field, and Yaakov Avinu brought Hashem closest to the Mokoyim Yishuv, which is the Bayis. It's interesting that the Meforshim quote additional psukim that give very strong support to this point, stressing different levels of Hashem being close to mankind, and that the closest that Hashem comes to us is when Hashem is Bechinas Bayis, when the Malchus is elevated to the Bechina of Bayis. One of the psukim that's quoted, the posuk says in Yeshaya, V'holchu amim rabim, v'omru l'chu v'nale el har Hashem, beis elikei Yaakov. That many nations will go forth, and they will say, let us come close to the mountain of Hashem, to the Beis Elikei Yaakov, showing these different levels of closeness to Hashem, that it begins at the mountain, it begins at the Har, and it ends at the Bayis. The Shleimus HaTikon in this Hiskarvus is at the level of Bayis. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to show that this Shleimus of Tefillah, when a tzaddik can be zecha to be mashlim the Tefillah and elevated from Har to Bayis, that this power only exists by tzaddikim, that they're the ones who have this shleimus hatfila. And Rabbeinu Zal said, this is why the Gemara tells us that if a person has somebody that's sick, they should go to a Talmud Chacham and ask him to be mispalel, because these Talmidei Chachamim, these tzaddikim, they're the ones who are masters of tefillah. However, Rabbeinu Zal said that there are those people whom Rabbeinu Zal gave them the nickname Avimelech, that they want this malchus. As they're looking for this power, they're looking to make it seem as if they're in a position to daven, either on their own, for themselves, or even on behalf of other people, and to dissuade people from going to tzaddikim, from looking to tzaddikim to be mispal for them. And Rabbeinu Zal gave the moshel of Avimelech, to whom Hashem spoke, and Hashem said to him, Hoshev eshes eshes o ishki novihu, that Avimelech should return the power of Eshes. Eshes refers to the power of Tefillah. Eshes is the Rosh Tevis of the sentence Hashem Sfosai Tiftoch, which is the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, the beginning of Tefillah. He should return it to Avram Avinu, who is the master of Hoshev. Hoshev is Har Sode Bayis. This refers to the Tzadikim. Their mission is to elevate the Tefillah, to elevate the Malchus, these levels, from the level of Har to the level of Soda to the level of Bayis. This is pretty much where we got up to last week. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Avol Eilu HaBalei Gaiva Hei Ma'akvim Tavoso Yishol Hashem Yisporach. But these people who have this arrogance into thinking that they don't need tzaddikim, they don't need anybody's help, they can daven for themselves, or some people who put themselves up as false leaders, to pretend as if they're capable of davening not just for themselves, but for other people, and steering people away from the true tzaddikim. Hema'akvim tavosoi shel Hashem yisporach. They hold back what Hashem enjoys very much. That which Hashem loves, they're the ones who block Hashem from getting it. Ve'enom mevakshim mitzadikim sheyispalu aleihem. And these people refrain from going to tzadikim to ask them to daven for them. Why? Ki choishvim, because these people think shehisanu, that they've fasted, v'sikfu es atzmom, and they've put themselves through, they've gone through all kinds of hardships and difficult suffering, ubozeh heim tzadikim, and they figure if they've done a little bit of fasting, and they've gone through some sigufim, some suffering, rolling in snow, or different kinds of sigufim that people in the past used to do to purify themselves, to cleanse themselves, some people, once they've gone through a little bit of that, the person assumes already that he's a tzaddik, that he's finished, he's already on the madreig of tzaddik, he doesn't need anybody's help anymore. Aval ho emes einoi kein. But Rabbein Azal says it's not really true. Ki kol hata'anesim shehesanu, because all the fasting that these people have done is actually like a sack which has a lot of little holes in it. And let's say this sack has something disgusting in it. Let's say it has dirt in it. Even after you empty out the sack completely from this dover mius, afal pikein nisharu boy hachoyrim, still the sack is not fixed yet completely. It still is left with thousands of holes. In other words, it's not a kli sholem yet. When you have a sack that's loaded with garbage, even after you've emptied out all the garbage, the sack is not a keli ready to be used for kedusha, ready to contain water or light, items that represent purity. But rather, it still has the holes in it, implying that anything, in other words, it still hasn't been fixed up to the point where it'll serve as a kli sholem. V'haguf nikro sak. Rabbein Azal says, we know that the body is called, is referred to in the Gemara as a sak. A sak, the English word sak. Kemaymar hatano, as the Gemara says, one of the rabbis of the Gemara said to his friend, shineno shori sakho. They said Rav Yehuda, the Gemara says Rav Yehuda was called Shinano, he was very sharp, Rav Yehuda Rav Yecheskel. So one of the rabbis said to him, Shinano, sharp one, shori sakho, open your mouth. In other words, eat so you'll have strength. But we see the word sakho there was referring to the guf. In other words, feed the guf, provide the guf with what it needs so that you'll be able to accomplish. So we see that the sak represents the guf. And these people think that they've cleansed the guf already, they've purified it, they've finished products already, and they don't realize that they're not. Rabbein Azal says, Ve'im hizbeinenu bi'atzmon, if these people would really think deeply about themselves, they would really search themselves and judge honestly and fairly to see if they're true tzaddikim, hoyuroyim, they would see that achar kol hatanesim, that after all the fasting that they've done, Adayan nisharu etzlom kol ta'avosom kshurim b'sakom. In other words, normally a person figures he's fasted and done these sigufim, and automatically he's lost all the dirt and all the ugliness and all the bad taivos that he had has all been gone. And yet Rabbein Azal says these people, what happens is they miscalculate. They figure a year too early, or 10 years too early, that they've gotten to that madrega. Whereas if they would take a look at themselves now, they would really see that they're not totally pure. And that the taivos, all the wrong kinds of desires, still exist by them and are still pretty strong. Hainu adayin nisharu etzlam kol ta'avosam kshurim besakom. Their taivos are still solidly attached to the sack. Hainu begufa, meaning to their body. V'loy ta'avosam bilvad nishar kosher begufam. Not only are they filled with their own personal problems, with their own personal taivos rois, which originate from themselves, which come about through the averos that they themselves did, but kiim gam taivas avihem sheyesh etzlom mishas ha'hoylodo. But rather these people, besides their own taivos, they also have the taivos of their parents, which were passed on to them from the time of birth. From the time that their parents gave birth to them, at that time their parents transmitted to them some of their own taivos rois and midos rois. Why? Machmas shaloi niskadesh oviv b'shas zivul. Because of the fact that the person's father was not mekadesh himself, wasn't careful to be totally pure, to make sure to have only pure thoughts at the time that he was together with his wife. Gamze kosher begufo madayin. So that's also stuck inside these people. These people who think at first glance, they figure they've become pure already. Not only they have two sets of problems, they have their own personal problems, all the bad things that they've picked up on their own from the day that they were born until now, throughout the time that they were existing in the world. And besides that, they have the whole pekel that they received from birth, whereby the Zohar HaKadosh says that according to the level of Kiddusha that parents have at the time that a child is conceived, that's what determines what kind of advantages or disadvantages the child starts off with when they come into this world. The level of purity is what gives a child an advantage or the opposite. So here Rabbeinu Zal says these people who have gone through a little bit of Tanesim and Sigufim, and already they think that they've graduated already and they're on this level, if they examine themselves, they'll see that they still have in them tons of their own taivos rois and problems, and that which they inherited b'yerusha from their parents through this fact. Ubevadai ilu hayuroyim es kol zeh, and certainly, if these people would see all of this, if they would realize this, charodo gedoylo hayonoyfel al pneim, they would be filled with a tremendous fear that would even be visible on their face. They would be ashamed of themselves to think, to act like big shots, to act like Jewish leaders, as if these are the people that are going to tell the Am Yisrael what they need to do and how they don't need rabbis, they don't need tzaddikim. This kind of attitude, if they would look carefully at themselves and realize this, they would be filled with fear. Because they would realize, they would see what kind of a lowly level they're actually on. Any questions on this paragraph? Okay. And we continue. Now Rabbeinu Zal brings a pasuk talking about a case like this in the Torah, where there were a group of tzaddikim, there were a group of people that was special. One of them was certainly by far the most special one among them. And originally, they got upset and insulted and nervous at how dare he feel superior to them. What do you mean, you're a big shot? We're also tzaddikim. We don't need you. We don't have to come on to you for anything special. We're okay on our own. This was the case of the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik and Yosef HaTzadik himself, who told them of the visions he had where Hashem said to him, Hashem showed him that his brothers would be nichna to him, that his brothers were dependent upon him, and they needed him to help them come close to Hashem, etc. And at first they misinterpreted that. They assumed that he had gaiva, that he was the bal gaiva, he was the one with the ego trip. And they ended up selling him as a slave and everything. And in the end, one of the incidents, one of the stories that took place was that they left and Yosef HaTzadik snuck a cup, a becher, into the sack of one of them. And then after they had left his presence and they were examining their sacks, they noticed that each one of them had a certain sum of money that Yosef HaTzadik had given to them. And Binyamin found this extra item in his sack, this extra becher. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk related to this, and Rabbeinu Zal gives a deep interpretation of this pasuk. V'zeh pirush, Rabbeinu Zal says that this, what we're describing now, is what's hinted to in a pasuk in Chumash, where the pasuk says, "Vayhi heim meirikim sakehem." They, the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, were emptying out their sacks. Vehine ish tsroyer kaspoi besakoi. And each one of them observed that he had his packet of money, his little bag of money, in the sack. And then the pasuk says, Vayiru es tsroyes kaspeim hemov avihem. They saw their bundles of silver, they and their father, later when they came to Yaakov Avinu, the Pasuk says they saw their own and their father's, that which Yosef HaTzadik had sent for their father. Now Rabbi Nezal explains, Achar kol hatanesim, after all the fasting, shehu harokas hasak, which represents this concept of emptying out the sack. When a person is fasting, they're emptying out the body, that's called this sack. Adayan vehine ish tsroer kaspoi, shekoshur vitzoror kaspoi v'ta'avosoi besakoi v'gufoi. These people observe that their bag of kesef, we know that kesef is normally referred to as a bad item that people are misave for. People crave it in a bad way. Not that money itself is a bad thing, but the way that people have a desire for excess money, for extra money, money that they don't need, money to buy moisrois with, that kind of thing, that's considered the root, the foundation of all taivois rois. So here it says they were emptying out their sacks, and they noticed that after emptying out their sacks, they still have the kesef tsorur. The taiva was still tied to them. They weren't free of it yet. Miloshin kesef, money, and also miloshin kisufin. Kisufin means taivois, desires. So it means they saw that they still had the wrong kinds of desires attached to them, even after they had done some fasting. Vayiru es tsrurois kaspeim hemo va'avihem. The pasuk says later, they saw their bags of money, theirs and their father's. Rabbi Nezal says, "Hainu loy dai tsurois kaspeim shu taivos atzmon." Not only do these people suffer from their own bag, their own problem, kiim gam hemo va'avihem, hainu hataivos shel avihem, but rather they're still straddled with the bag of taivos that their father transmitted to them from the time of birth. They haven't rid themselves of that either. Gam hemo lo naflu mehem. They haven't dropped that yet either. V'zeh vayiru. And therefore the pasuk says over there that the brothers were filled with fear. Ki charodo nofla lehem. Because this tremendous fear came upon them, this busha. We know that there are two words that always go together, yiru and busha. The word bereshis, the Zohar HaKadosh says, is actually a combination of two words, yore, bereshis. That those two feelings are generally synonymous. When a person is embarrassed, that feeling of embarrassment leads to a fear, an awe before the one who embarrassed them, the one that embarrassed them, that had the upper hand over them, this kind of feeling. And then they were cured from this desire to rule, this desire to be boss, to feel that they could do it on their own. They were made smaller to feel that they weren't able to do everything on their own. Now note here, it's not talking about Chas v'Shalom Yaakov Avinu. It's not, in other words, in the example that's given here, this is not implying that they had Taivos Rois that they got from Yaakov Avinu. This is being used as a mushal to symbolize this concept that many times those people who are not willing to accept the authority of a tzaddik, part of the reason why is it's a basic gaiva. We mentioned this in the Shabbos here. They feel that I'm not a Rosha. If I was a Rosha, I could understand I have to come on to a tzaddik. But I'm not a Rosha. I'm a Beinoni or I'm a tzaddik myself, either one. I have enough good in me that I'm willing to go it on my own. I don't have to feel dependent. I'm not a charity case that I have to come on to somebody else for a handout to help me in religion. And Rabbi Nezal says that generally it comes because the person feels that they've accomplished to a certain degree in religion. But yet, if this person would examine themselves carefully and see how far they really are from Kiddush at this point, they would realize how seriously they do have to come on to the tzaddik for tefillah and bichlal for his help in helping them to come close to Hashem. No, it's a chain. Because when they looked at themselves and they saw that they had their own tzror kaspoi plus vavihem, they saw that they had their own bag of problems, plus that they were still straddled with the bag of problems that they inherited from their parents, this filled them with a fear, the type of fear that got them to drop this feeling of wanting to be boss, a feeling that they're in a position to be mispalel for themselves, or to be mispal for others, but rather to be nichna to the tzaddik. Yes. Yes, definitely.
So that's talking about the son of Yaakov.
Yes, that when they saw they had this money and everything, and they saw the problem, the becher of Yesvat Sadeh, they were filled with fear, the Pasuk says over there. They got scared that because now they're really in trouble because they were caught stealing, as if, because now they were made to look as if they had stolen from the palace.
But it's not referring to any
punishment. No, definitely not. Very possible that Rabbein Azal was addressing specifically his generation, not limited only to his generation, but the fact that at that time, during the time of the Mekubalim, and during the time of the Hasidim, during that time there were many people who undertook these types of avodos to try to become tzaddikim, because they felt that the path to come closest to Hashem was by breaking the body. And to a certain limited degree, they were right. The Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, that by taking away from the guf, you're adding to the neshama, you're leading to the growth of the neshama. However, Rabbein Azal is implying here that it's not that simple. And unfortunately, most of the people that do this, their biggest problem, bigger than their taivos rois and midos rois, their bigger problem is their gaiva. And what happens is the sultan plays tricks on these people. He knows that the way to get to this person to fail in religion is not so much by getting him to eat chazer or doing other things like that, because that this person won't go in for. So rather than swerve this person to the left, to the side of Ace of Arusha, who wanted to drop religion, leave religion completely, the Satan tries swerving him to the right. He knows that to get this person to become Arusha, the person's not interested. So what he'd rather do is sell the person on becoming a tzaddik, but sell him short. In other words, convince the person that he's become a tzaddik before he's actually become a tzaddik. And then the Satan has accomplished, basically, his major achievement, that this person won't continue trying, won't continue struggling, won't continue searching for tzaddikim to bring him close to Hashem, because this person's been fooled into thinking that he's already close, that he's already a success in religion. He's gone through some fasting, this, that, he's already pure, and his tefillah is already a tefillah bishlemus, etc. And then the person's in a lot of trouble.
Saying here that the moment that the Shvatim saw the money, the Becher, they immediately understood that as a remiss, they still had their own tahot. Yes?
Yes.
Secondly, you've asked twice already, but since Rabbi goes to the border of explaining Vavihem in the Pasuk, it actually stresses this, I am Tahot Shavihem.
Right.
Must have some mitzvahs for that also. Maybe Aviyam could also sell that on a previous Gilgul, the old person himself.
Definitely, that's also a possibility. There are times, his question was, yes, his question was maybe Va'avihem refers to them in a previous Gilgul. There is a Gemara that says that if you see a person who has Azus, Chutzpah, Biyadua Shaloi Amdu Ragle Avoisov Al Har Sinai. That's the wording in the Gemara. You can be sure that his parents' feet were not standing at Har Sinai. In other words, that they weren't present at Har Sinai, and therefore, because if he were present at Har Sinai, Hashem dropped such a bomb on the world, such fear and awe from the world, that anybody that was there or anybody whose parents were there, this fear was transmitted, which would not allow a person to have azus, chutzpah. So if we see a person who is a mechutzav, biyadua shalayam durak le'avois al har Sinai. So one of the taiches that's given by the Mekubolim means that this doesn't refer to Ragle Avoisov, because we know that all 600,000 neshamos were at Har Sinai. So why would it say his parents weren't at Har Sinai? Why not him? So they say that the term Ragle Avoisov, parents, refers to a person's previous visit to this earth. Sometimes that's also given this nickname of parent. Parent means a previous generation. It could even mean a person's own visit to this world in a previous generation. could be that's what it refers to. Or again, I believe, I hesitate to say this with a firmness, I believe I recall seeing in Sforim that it's brought, that this fact alone, that there was a trick played on Yaakov Avinu, at the time that the Gemara says that when a person gets married, if a person accidentally is thinking about another woman, a different woman, at that time, chas v'shalom, at the time of Zivug, that's one of the greatest issues of Pigam HaBris, chas v'shalom. The fact that in a sense, in a certain very deep, delicate sense, Yaakov Avinu at the time thought it was Rachel and it was really Leah, this concept that might represent in some tiny, tiny dakus way a concept of this bilbul of Yitzhuei Oviv, this concept. But again, we know that Yaakov Avinu is the one that's presented in the Torah as Mito Shlemo, the pure bed. That Avram Avinu had mixture, he had good and bad coming from him, Yitzchak and Yishmoel. Yitzchak Avinu had Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov Avinu was the first one who said, Koichi Vareshis Oini, that there wasn't one drop that came from him before his son Reuven. In other words, that he lived in total purity in Tikkun HaBris, and all the children that came from him were pure, so that very delicate and very cautious and careful about saying anything negative about Yaakov Avinu in this context. Let's go. Now Rabbi Nizal continues to explain the story over there and to show how it ties in. Now when they came back to Yaakov Avinu, the Pasuk says, Vayomer lehem Yaakov Avihim, and they told Yaakov Avinu what the plan was, that the viceroy of Egypt said that he wants them to bring Binyamin and everything. In other words, he wants them to bring Binyamin down, and then he'll give them food. The Pasuk says, Vayomer lehem Yaakov Avihim, Yaakov Avinu, their father, said to them, Oisi shikaltem, you're looking to make me a mishakelo chas v'shalom, like somebody, a woman who loses all her children, chas v'shalom. Yosef einenu, one of my children is already gone. Now you're going to take Binyamin also, and if anything goes wrong with him, I'll be finished. This is what Yaakov Avinu said to them when they came back, saying that what they needed now to go to Yesod Tzadik was they needed to take Binyamin with them. Now Rabbi Nizal explains that this part of the story, zeh remez al teichochas hasechel, this represents a person's own mind lecturing him, like talking to the person, a person's own brain talking to him and trying to straighten him out. Ki hasechel moichiach es habalei gaivo horoitzim lesgadel. Because the sechel gives teichocha, reprimands these balei gaivo who want to try to feel big, who want to try to take authority onto themselves. Ki Yaakov hu bechinas hasechel. Because Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Sechel. Kamo shetirgim unkelis vayakveni vachakmeni. The targum of the word Yaakov, vayakveni, when Esav said he tricked me, the targum says vachakmeni. So we see that vachakmeni means he outsmarted me. So we see that Yaakov is the symbol of smarts. Vize avihem, their father Yaakov Avinu, ki av bechochma. Because Abba, the father, represents Chochmah. In the Zohar HaKadosh, it describes the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei corresponding to a complete family. Yud represents the father, Kei represents the mother, Vav represents the ben, and Hei represents the bas. So the letter Yud of Hashem's name, Kaviyochol, represents the concept of father. And we know that the letter Yud of Hashem's name also represents Chochmah, the sphere of Chochmah, the mid of Chochmah. The Pasuk says in the Shir HaSayam, Oz Yoshir Moshe of Nei Yisrael, Rashi says, Yoshir al Shem HaMachshov HaNemra. The Yud of Yoshir, it should have said, Oz Shor Moshe. Yoshir, the Yud there, represents Machshova, Chochmah, Seichel, the future. And which means, Ki Av B'Chochmah V'Hainu Shehaseichel Moichicham, Their own brains try to tell them, try to reprimand them and say to them, Oisi shikaltem. Shikel means to lose one's children, and shikel also means a sochol is the opposite of a balsechel. Shikel means lack of brains. Ki kol hamizgoe chochmosoi mistalekes mimenu. Because the Gemara says that a person who has gaiva, the result is that he loses his chochmo, he loses his sechel. So Yaakov Avinu, who represents these people's minds, their own mind says to them, look at yourself. Look at how you've lost sechel. As a result of your gaiva, your brain isn't working as well as it could be, as well as it should be. Yosef einenu. Yosef is lost already. Zebchinas tikkun hama'uvos. This refers to fixing up that which needs to be corrected in themselves. These people who still have all of these taivos rois and midos rois, all of these problems, Yosef einenu, you haven't yet reached the madreg of Yosef. Yosef represents one who passed the test, one who showed that he is a complete tzaddik. Hainu adayin loitikantem hamuvos. You have not yet come to correct, to fix everything that needs to be fixed. Shehu lecherpa ulekoloin. And therefore you find yourself still filled with the shame and embarrassment of sins. V'yesh lochem lesbayish machmosoi. And therefore, rather than being big shots, you should feel embarrassed and ashamed of yourself. Ki tikun hamuvos hu bechinas Yosef. Because when a person has been zoche to be mesakin the ma'uvas, whatever needs to be fixed in their life, that's called reaching the level of Yosef. Yosef represents one who fixed up everything that he has to fix. Al shem, as the pasuk says, osaf elokim es cherposi. The Gemara says that when Yosef HaTzadik was born, one of the reasons why he was given the name Yosef was his mother Rachel said, now Hashem has gathered in all my shame. Now I no longer have anything to be ashamed of. I also have my two children. I also have given birth to a child. So we see that Yosef represents one whose shame and embarrassment is over. He's done everything he has to fix whatever would be making him embarrassed. That's number one. V'shimoin einenu, and Yaakov Avinu said, Yosef is not here anymore. Shimoin is not here anymore, because if you recall the story, Yosef HaTzadik took one of the brothers as a mashkin, as a collateral, and he said, this one stays here until you bring me Binyamin, until I see proof that you aren't lying to me. So Yaakov Avinu said, Yosef's gone, Shimon is gone, now you're going to take Binyamin, who am I going to be left with? So now Rabbi Nizal says, V'shimoin einenu, hainu, al yedei she'ein lecho bechinas Yosef. The seichel is saying to these people, because of the fact that you haven't yet been zeichet to the madreig of Yosef, to be rid of all of this shame and embarrassment, ein lecho bechinas shimoin. That's why you don't have the concept of shimoin. V'shimoin, what does shimon represent? V'shimoin hu bechinas ki shoma Hashem ki snuo onoichi. The Torah says that why did Leah give Shimon the name Shimon? Because she said that Hashem saw how Yaakov Avinu liked Rachel so much more than me, how despised I was. Therefore, he gave me two sons before giving her one even. This is what she said. So Rabbi Nizal says, Ki ato ein chosonui. You, the Balgaiva, you the one who feels that you're ready to be an authority, you're one to put yourself up as a leader of Bnei Yisrael, and you can daven for yourself, or you could even daven for other people, you're not hated. Shimon einenu, you're not on the madrega of Shimon. Shimon represents one who is hated. Ki ato ein chosonui, kimach mashaloi tikanto es atzmocho, because you have not corrected yourself and perfected yourself, bevadai ein choyochoi lachiach acherim, you certainly are not in a position to give toichocho to others. Ki yomru lecho kshoit atzmocho tchila, because if you'll try to give somebody else toichocho, he'll say, first you fix what you have to, and then you talk to me about fixing what I have to. V'alkein ein chosonui. And therefore, since you're at this point where you haven't fixed up what you have to, and therefore you can't be moichiach others, therefore nobody dislikes you. Ki ha-moichiach hu sonui. Because we know that one who does reprimand others, one who does try to fix other people and elevate them, he is generally disliked. Kamoi shomru chazal, as the Gemara says in Ksubis, hai tzurba me rabonon demarach me le b'nei moso, a young rabbi who is liked by the people of his city, the Gemara says it shows there's something wrong with him. If everybody likes him, it implies he's not doing his job. Because in a city, it's impossible for everybody to be perfect. And therefore, if he's a true rabbi, he's looking for the imperfections and he's looking to correct them. And unfortunately, there are many people that don't take to that so well because their attitude is, I'm perfect already. I don't need any help. And therefore, a rabbi generally has some opposition, some people that don't like him. When he's fulfilling the job of a rabbi, when he himself is capable of being mechiach others. What does he need to be capable of being mechiach others? He himself has to be pure. So it's only one who has purified himself totally who would be in a position to be mechiach others and who would be in a position to arouse hatred, to make enemies from some people. Therefore, here Yaakov Avinu said to them, Yosef Einenu. You haven't yet reached the Madrega of Yosef. You haven't fixed up all of your own shame. And therefore, the Shimon Einenu. Therefore, you're not giving Toichacha to other people, and therefore, you're not Snua. Therefore, you're not disliked. Nobody has any reason to dislike you, because you're not going around reprimanding anybody, because you have nothing to reprimand, because you're ashamed of yourself to a degree. You know yourself that you haven't really fixed up everything you have to. Ve'es Binyamin Tikochu? And now you want to take Binyamin to yourselves? Zeh Moira al Gadlus. Binyamin represents Gadlus, Gaiva. Ki Pirush Rashi, Binyamin al Shem Eretz Yisrael, Benyamin. That the reason why he was given this name Binyamin was because he was the only one of the Shvatim to be born in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is to the right. That's the way from where they were at the time. Eretz Yisrael, he govoya mikol ha'arotzos. And we know the Gemara also says about Eretz Yisrael that it's the highest of all the countries. Eretz Yisrael represents gadlus, govoya. So v'hainu, Yaakov Avinu was saying to them, loy dai she'en lochem kol abchinai salolu. It's not bad enough that you haven't done all the things you're supposed to. You haven't purified yourselves yet, and therefore you're not in a position to give teichacha to others yet. Im kol zev es binyamin tikachu, and you want to take binyamin to yourselves? She'atem loikchem la'atzmeichem gadlus? Oh, it's not bad enough that you have all of these chesroinus? You want to be a balgaiva also? V'hainu desiyem. This is why the pasuk finishes, ha'seichel mechiachesam, olai hoyu kulono. Yaakov Avinu said, all of this suffering is on me. All of this trouble comes to me. Why did he say, olai hoyu kulono? Yaakov Avinu here represents the seichel. All of these problems affect the seichel. Ki hakoil noifel olai. Because all of these chesroinois all affects the moyach. Ki kol hamizgoy chochmosoy mistalekes mimenu. Because the Gemara says that this gaiva on the part of the person, the main thing that it harms is the person's brain, the person's power to learn Torah correctly and to be able to develop, to be able to climb in seichel. So therefore here, Rabbeinu Zal took this whole incident with the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik and shows how this is merames on those people who haven't yet reached total purity and who should be going to the Tzadik for tefillah. They should be turning to the Tzadik for help. And rather, because they think that they've emptied out their sack, they've done a little bit of tshuva, they've learned a couple of pages, they fasted a little, that kind of thing, they feel they're ready to take on a mantle of leadership, whether it be just for themselves. He's ready to be his own rabbi, his own boss, his own tzaddik. Or he's ready even to be a rabbi for others, chas v'shalom, when he's not ready for it yet. And Rabbein Azal described, he showed how each one of the details of this story, this Yosef Einenu, the Shimon Einenu, Vez Binyamin Tikochu, Ulai Hayu Kolono, all ties in beautifully with the explanation he gave before as to what happens when a person does this. What happens when a person tries to take this godless onto themselves when they're not really roy for it.
That's his opinion. That he's entitled to his opinion, definitely. However, Rabbein Azal is saying here, and not Rabbein Azal, the Torah, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbein Azal's forum, stress the concept of a Jew having Aseh L'Chorav. If a person looks in Rabbein Azal's forum, on this page, they see a Rav is not just for Halacha. They see that a Rav, and if you learn the laws of becoming a Rav, you realize that there are certain cases where a person comes in to ask you a certain shaila, and you're required to step on the person. You're required, if a person asks
a certain way, if a person asks a question in a sarcastic way, person makes fun of the Torah, or a person shows that they're not really taking the words of the rabbis seriously, the Gemara tells us cases of a person who came to a Rav to ask him a question, or he made a comment to a Rav, and the Rav looked at him and he became a pile of bones. Or certain other cases where they were reprimanded very harshly, very severely. Or we find cases by Rabbeinu Zal himself as to how he did this with his own Talmidim. Certain cases where a Talmid came to him, the case of Rav Nosson Zal himself, who Rabbeinu Zal was once, not once, if a person studies Yemei Maranat and they see what he went through, that there were a few times that he got chewed out by Rabbeinu Zal. And these stories, we mentioned a story recently on Shavuos night of a Talmud who Rabbeinu Zal tried to be Makariv, and then Rabbeinu Zal saw that this person was being phony and fake, and Rabbeinu Zal was doichfoy b'shtei yodayim, because Rabbeinu Zal says in Sefer Amidos, quoting the Gemara, that if a Rav sees that he's trying to be Makariv somebody and the person is resisting in a certain strong way, mutar l'doichfoy b'shtei yodayim, he's allowed to push him away with both hands. We see that there is definitely a concept of toichocha by any rav in any city with any set of talmidim. There definitely will be occasions where there's a need for toichocha, not just by a rav, by a Jew. This is a mitzvah in the Torah. Yichich yichich samisecha. It's understood that this is a very delicate item and a very difficult item. And as far as being sonoy because of it, it's not just Rav. Rabbeinu Zal says there are sforim that you can open up. You can open up a Reishis Chochma and read the language that's used there, how severely he speaks about Gehenim and about these specific punishments and penalties that a person gets for each and every sin. And Rabbeinu Zal says there are people who have read that Sefer and as a result became irreligious because they felt that the language there was so severe and so harsh that it pushed them away, that kind of thing. They took it the wrong way. And Rabbeinu Zal explains that that's taking it the wrong way. That's a person who's twisting the Teichocha. The Pasuk says, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. If a person stops to think, if a rabbi really didn't like me, then if he'd see me acting like a monkey, he'd make believe he doesn't see, period. He would ignore it because it wouldn't bother him if I'll stay a monkey for the rest of my life. He wouldn't care. If he's yelling at me, if he's insulting me, if he's embarrassing me, it means obviously he's trying to improve me, he's trying to change me, that's not a sign of pushing away, it's a sign of bringing close. This is a very delicate nekuda, and this issue regarding people making statements and saying, quoting Rabbeinu Zal or Breslov, to say that advice that Rabbeinu Zal gives in his Torah on Likutei Moran about tzaddikim or things like that, because I know I'm not on that level, so it's logical to say that there are no physical tzaddikim alive that are on that level. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal must be talking only about dead tzaddikim. Not everybody prescribes to that. Not everybody agrees with that. Meaning, my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha, our Rabbi Zichrono Livracha, stressed very much that Rabbeinu Zal wanted his Talmidim to follow not just Rabbeinu Zal himself, but in their own generations, they had to search for physically living leaders to whom to go to receive the nekuda of tzaddik, to receive the nekuda of a rabbi, to receive certain things which every single Jew, and Breslov is not excluded from that. Some people believe there's a Shulchan Aruch for Klal Yisrael, and Breslov has its own Shulchan. Rabbeinu Zal was very serious about Shulchan Aruch. Out of all the limudim, the one thing he said clearly as a tzavur for his Talmidim to learn every single day was Shulchan Aruch, was halacha. And part of halacha is teichocha. In Hilchis Yom Kippur, one of the major sections there deals with the obligation and duty and responsibility of a Jew to reprimand another Jew. When can you reprimand another Jew? Only when you're very significantly better than that person. The concept of a rabbi and student, one who's on a much higher level, who's in a position to reprimand. Still, it being a delicate item.
But what is for us to look to somebody as a tzaddik if he's not a tzaddikan? So how?
Of course. Of course. Just like for us to look in a sefer and find there things that are going to bring us, take us further away from Hashem, is also a pigam. But But that doesn't give a person a license, since the majority of people out there are phonies. Therefore we follow the roiv, and therefore I'm free from this obligation of looking for a tzaddik. Where did that come from? On the contrary, you're told you're required to look. You're told that the odds are against you. It's 1,000 to 1. The ratio of honest people to dishonest is 1,000 to 1. So that he's botel be'elef or botel be... But a berry is not botel be'elef. Now, as one who's a tzaddik, even if there's 1,000, you could have tons and tons of darkness. If a person will look carefully within that darkness, they'll find that tiny speck of light that's not tainted, that's not dark. And if a person attaches themselves to a false leader, to one who's not a tzaddik, there's no question at all that they will be misled. And we're gonna that's what this whole Torah is about these types of leaders who are themselves not pure, and they put themselves up as leaders, and therefore those that are following them end up not receiving any teichocha. They're not getting reprimanded because this person doesn't take his position seriously. He doesn't think that his leadership is only for the sake of improving people. He thinks his leadership is to make him feel good about himself. It's a great feeling to be looked up to. And he doesn't realize that that's baloney. That's not why they're looking up to him at all. They're looking up to him in the hope that he's going to concern himself with them, that he's going to elevate them, he's going to bring them up. They don't realize that he's projecting a false image, that he has fooled them, or they have fooled themselves into thinking that he's really pure, he's really good, because they didn't bother to check him out very carefully and very well, and to see honestly, sincerely, do I feel myself improving? When I walk out of a shir, does it sound like an intellectual experience? Like it was a lot of big words and everything, but I didn't feel any tosfas yira shamayim, or I didn't feel any desire to learn more, to daven more, with more kavanah, those things, or not. And these are ways for a person to be able to get an idea, to tell who he's following.
Just one clarification. Now, according to this section, the question we had before maybe becomes clear, that Avihem doesn't refer to Yaakov as Yaakov, may refer to Yaakov as being Chochmah. Was their own Avihem as Chochmah, after Chochmah.
Could be, that the Hemo refers to their Taivois Rois, Va'avihem refers to their Sechel. Their Chochmah is their wrong Chochmahs that are misleading them. Person looking with Chochmahs rather than with Tmimus and Pshitus in terms of selecting right. Okay, so this is what Rabbein Ezal discusses here. Now Rabbein Ezal says, if a person finds that they have this problem, they find it difficult or impossible to feel that they have to come on to somebody else. Why? Because the person has this type of gaiva, feeling that he's comfortable on his own, he's sufficient for himself, be it in tefillah or in any other things. The advice that's best suited for a person to be able to do away with this gaiva, shehiyo avoyde zoro, which is actually synonymous with idol worship. Kamo shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, toyavas Hashem kol gvalev, that it's despicable to Hashem, any type of gaiva. Rab Nosenzal, it's brought in Koch Veor, Rab Nosenzal said, note, the pasuk could easily have said, toyavas Hashem gvalev, that gaiva is toeva. What's kol gvalev? Kol gvalev l'rabo is afilu b'toira, afilu b'tfila. That not only is gaiva despicable when it's in other things, when it's a person who's misgoa because of his money or this or that, but even if a person feels gaiva as a result of mitzvahs, he fasted so he feels gaiva, or he davened one shachris with a little bit more kavona than any other time he did in his life, already he's walking around floating on air, he's walking around giving brachas, and he's taking pidyonos, he's already a finished product. That kind of thing is also, even there, it's considered this toyavas Hashem. And the Gemara says, toyavas Hashem refers to avodah zarah. The Gemara quotes Psukim to show that that's the term that's used about avodah zarah. How does a person get rid of it? Ho ikar hu al yedei hiskarvus letzadikim. The way that a person could get rid of this gaiva that's keeping him away from tzadikim, The way to solve it is by coming close to tzaddikim. Kemuva b'tikunim, as is brought in the Tikkuni Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar says, b'trua de'ihu rucha is avir kel acher. The Tikkuni Zohar says that through the shofar blows the sound of the trua, that helps to, at de'ihu rucha, that wind that's blowing through the shofar in this form of the trua, is avir, removes kel acher, avodah zarah. Kel acher is one of the nicknames of avodah zarah. Kel acher is bigimatria amolek. Amolek represents the avi avoy satuma. Amolek is called Rashis goyim amolek. Amolek represents the balgaiva. He wasn't scared of nothing. The Yidden had wiped the floors with Mitzrayim and everything, and they were coming out in all of this glory. And Amolek wanted to show that he's the big shot. He's not afraid to start up with them, even at their most glorious moment. The concept of Homon, who came from Amolek, where his major problem was this ego. Achar advar meila gidal hamelech achashverosh is Homon. This eskvoidoshroi v'roiv bonov, all of that geus that was shayach to them. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that b'trua, the iurucha, is avir kel acher. That through the trua, which is ruach, you eliminate kel acher. Rabbein Azal says, v'tzadik hu bechinas rucha. We know that the tzadik is also called ruach. Kamo shekosuv ish asher ruach boi. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem to provide the Jews with a leader, to take his place. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem that he would have to leave the world, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, please give the Yidden ish asher ruach boi. He understood that that's a tzaddik, one who has this ruach. And if the Zohar HaKadosh says that ruach eliminates kel acher, then the tzaddik who is called ish asher ruach boi, he's the one who has the power to eliminate this kel acher, this avodah zarah, this gaiva. And it's through the tzaddik that a person is zoche to eliminate his geus, his haughtiness, kel acher, which is represented by this concept of avodah zarah, v'nase me'acher echod. And instead of kel acher, it becomes Hashem echod. The word acher and echod, there's a very tiny difference between them. The resh and the dalet. The dalet just has a tiny little protrusion thing that sticks out on top that changes the resh into the dalet. So that again, a person thinks how much the tzaddik, in order to fix me, he's going to have to turn me around completely, completely. All the tzaddik has to do is add that little pintle of kedusha to the person, and he changes the person. He takes the person out of the category of acher into the category of echod, which represents total kedusha. Kamosh Rabbein Azal says, ki hu koitzo de'ois dalid, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that the tzaddik is called the koitz of the letter dalid. That little piece of the dalid, that yud, which represents this chokhma of kedusha, which when appended to the resh, becomes a dalid. How do you change a resh to a dalid? You put a little yud on the end of it, sticking out over there. The yud is the chokhma nigdusha of the tzaddik. When a person is zoche to come close to the tzaddik, who is the koitze, the ois dalid, he's this tip of the letter dalid, he converts shemimenu dalid ruchois. From this tzaddik comes forth the dalid ruchois. Kama shekosuv koyomar Hashem me'arba ruchois boi horuach. That this ruach is actually a combination of dalid ruchois. So we see how why the tzaddik is symbolized by this letter dalid that represents these four ruchois filtering into one. This tzaddik is the one who has the power to break the person's ruach gavoya. The tzaddik who has this ruach of kedusha, this is what helps to break the ruach gavoya, this gaiva. Veze loshen terua, loshen teroyim b'shevet barzel. That's why the Zohar HaKadosh uses the word trua. Trua means this blowing of the shofar. Trua also means to smash something, to break something. The pasuk says teroyim b'shevet barzel. Smash them with a metal rod. Kihu mishaber ruach gavoya, because this is one of the functions of the tzaddik. The tzaddik smashes this ruach gavoya, kel acher, which represents avodah zarah, which is synonymous with kfirus, atheism. This whole concept of lack of emunah in Hashem and all of these chesronos, the tzaddik is the one who's able to fix this up. Now note that this word trua also represents the opposite of gaiva. Gaiva means a ruach govoya. When we talk about anivus, one of the nicknames of anovo is a ruach nishboro. Zivche elikim, ruach nishboro, the Gemara says. What's the best example of ruach nishboro? A trua. That's the ruach. Tkia is the ruach when it's straight and smooth. When the ruach is nishbor, it's broken up into tiny pieces, that's a trua. So we see that trua represents this breaking of the ruach. Who's the one who's mamuna over it? The trua. The Zohar Kodesh says, betrua, the ihu rucha, the bal ha-trua, who is the tzaddik, the master of ruach, the one who is called isha sheruach boy. He's the master of ruach of kedusha. He's the one who's able to break the ruach of tumah inside of people, which means this gas ruach, this ruach govoya, this bad type of ruach, he's the one who's able to break it. Both. In other words, it seems what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here is that when a person is mekusher to a tzaddik, one of the main functions that the tzaddik does for the person is to clean out the gaiva, the ruach govoya, and to bring the person to this level of ruach nishboro. It could happen through divrei Torah, it could happen especially through toichacha, if a person takes it the right way. If a person reacts to it the right way, and he uses it to break himself, in a positive way, not to break himself and leave himself broken, but to break the bad ruach inside of him, to empty out the midos rois, and to replace it with good, that's how this is accomplished.